Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Wake County commissioners recently voted to change employment applications to ban the box, to not automatically disqualify candidates for jobs if they were convicted of a crime in the past. The new policy is part of a national movement to make it easier for people who made a mistake to re-enter the workforce. Wake County Commissioners Sig Hutchinson and Matt Calabria talked with News & Views producer Clayton Hinkle about banning the box and the county's agenda for this year's legislative session.
Well, the last time we had you in the studio, we were talking about Wake County's innovative approach to paying workers a living wage, and now you're both back with another progressive initiative. Tell our listeners a little bit about the Fair Chance Hiring Ordinance.
Sure. And nationally, this is referred to as ban the box. But in reality, a better name is delay the box. And what we're trying to do is remove the checkbox on that the initial application for county employees that says, do you have a criminal record? Check yes or no. By doing background checks and criminal records later in the process, we give applicants a better opportunity to give all the information about themselves, including their criminal records, but they can provide a fuller picture. And what that does is it allows us to make better decisions. It's fair to them, and it allows us to take advantage of a lot of wonderful people who have a lot of skills and talents that they can bring to bear, but that because of their records and mistakes that they have made in the past, often have trouble finding jobs.
And I think, Sig, a lot of people would be very surprised that there are a lot of people in North Carolina that do have a record that are excluded from the opportunity of having a job.
Oh, that's such a great point. One in five citizens here in Wake County have a criminal record. It's just so wonderful when we brought this before the county commission, the outpouring of support of people who know that there's hope out there and they can actually find a job. From our perspective, what we're interested in is finding the most qualified candidate to be able to do the position. And if someone happens to have something that they did in the past and they've cleaned that up, we find that they're very, very loyal employees and are very appreciative of the opportunity to have a job.
And that really is a good point. Prior to the passage of this, a person who had a conviction, they'd automatically be excluded. They'd never get a chance to even be considered. And really what we're doing here is you're allowing the hiring manager to take that into his or her discretion at a later date.
Well, and I should say that the county's employee practices before we passed this ordinance were pretty good. But what we wanted to do is make sure that as a standard in our ordinances, we gave people a fair shot. So this really crystallizes what we think are national best practices. And the sheriff has been very supportive of us as well, because he doesn't want people coming back into his jail that he has since released. We know that finding a job really does center you. It helps you support your family, and it keeps you out of prison. So it's really good for all of society.
I know that as Wake County started looking at this ordinance, you probably talked to people in other counties that have tried this approach, or other municipalities that have tried this approach, and you probably met with a few people who've had second chances. Can you share a story with perhaps somebody that you met or chatted with that really touched you, that made you say, this is something that Wake County really does need to enact?
Well, we know that Durham County has passed a similar ordinance. Asheville, or Buncombe County, I should say, I think had passed one just after us. But to me, the most compelling story that we heard was at our county commission meeting. A woman came forward who I think had been in prison, and she said, you know, when you leave, everybody tells you, don't worry, you'll be back. And she said, I never believed it, but I got out, and when you can't find a job and you don't know what to do, you start to believe it.
One of the best sayings I think that's come out of this is, when you make it too hard to do the right thing, you then make it too easy to have to do the wrong thing.
And that really is a good point here. We know that research, that stable employment is one of the best predictors of post-conviction success. And so this is not only giving that person that leg up, that second chance, it really has the potential to reduce recidivism.
No doubt.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the county's legislative agenda. The state legislature, they recently convened for their short summer session. Talk to our listeners a little bit about one or two of the items that Wake County is going to be pursuing.
Well, obviously, there are things that we're very, very interested in Wake County and helping us to protect the county and our citizens. Several things that really stand out. Number one is water quality is always a key importance to us. So we want to continue to protect water quality in Falls Lake and Jordan Lake and really protect our stream buffers, which has been a lot of discussion about doing away with stream buffers. Obviously, we want to pay our teachers more. We want to stop the cutting of mental health and start increasing funding for mental health. We want to make sure that sales tax that are collected here in Wake County or actually stay here in Wake County. And then I'll say the final initiative that we're very excited about is around high-speed internet connectivity. I'm very interested in becoming the most wired county in America. And so we want to create opportunities for the county to drop infrastructure, fiber infrastructure, so that we can increase the build-out of broadband technology.
Let's expand on just a couple of those items. I know that buffers are one thing that you mentioned on your list, and people don't think about those. It's just a term that, unless you're an environmentalist, you're really not keyed into. But as we have this massive growth, this influx of people coming in, this buildup of our beautiful county, we really do need to protect our water quality. So can you expand a little bit on why it is so important that we do have that buffer protection?
You know, buffers are just the easiest thing that we can do. And it's just a wooded buffer between the development and the actual stream bed, which can, if you think about it, it can filter out up to 80% of the nitrogen and phosphorus before it actually gets to the stream bed. So this is the type of thing that we've been doing for years along the Neuse River and our corridors with 50 and 100-foot buffers. And in the recent long session, they actually tried to completely do away with these buffers. And not only is this impacting water quality, but I can also speak about how this is going to impact economic development for the county, which is, so this, there's nothing good about this.
Some of our listeners may remember reading about solar bees and, and the effort to protect water and keep it clean. It turned out that that was not as effective as some state lawmakers had hoped. So really, we do need to look at things like protecting the buffers.
And they're currently working. So they're in place, working. Everything's fine. We just need to leave them alone.
Let's talk a little bit more about teacher pay, because that is probably going to be a hallmark of this session. Governor McCrory has just put forth his proposal to increase teacher pay. Of course, the state House and the state Senate, they're going back and forth on whether they think that 5% is too much, whether it's closer to 3% or 2%, or whether a bonus is a better way to approach this. What do you hear from Wake County's teachers in terms of what they really need to stay in the classroom and stay in this profession?
Well, I think that they need a lot of things, but teacher pay is a major component of that. I'm certainly appreciative for any teacher pay raise that comes from the state that they can provide. But we have to acknowledge that we're pretty far behind. I mean, we were at the national average, and now we're one of the lowest states in the country. Our teachers certainly don't get into this for the money, but we have to make this a plausible job for them. And certainly they deal with a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and they work very hard. And we need to make sure that we, even as just self-interested competitive employers, provide what we need to keep the best teachers here and recruit the best teachers. And we can't do that without being able to compensate them competitively.
And what we're finding is that young people are just not going into the profession. You know, they're choosing other professions other than teaching, which is maybe something they would want to do, but they just don't see it as financially viable for them.
And we hear that it's not just teacher pay, as Matt was saying, but also they need the resources, they need the professional development, those things that keep you energized about your job.
Oh, no doubt. You know, everyone wants to develop and move on in their career, and so they need to know that there's a roadmap to earn more money, and there's a roadmap for success in terms of more responsibility and opportunity for continuing education. So all of this gets into a true career, a profession in public education and teaching.
Wake County Schools, they're also urging lawmakers to find a way to fund driver's education past the 2016-17 fiscal year. Obviously, it's very important that we do that, right?
Oh, well, no doubt. I mean, just think about, for those folks who are listening to this who've had kids who are just starting to drive, I'm sure we all recognize we want to give them as much training as possible before we put them out on the road. We've got to pay the insurance, so anything we can do to make those drivers better and more equipped to handle the stresses of driving is going to be a good thing.
And of course, Wake County is also working on a transit plan. The public has a chance to weigh in on that in the coming weeks. Briefly, tell us a little bit how that's shaping up.
Well, we're getting pretty close to having a final transit plan. We have engaged in more of a year of listening to constituents and talking to stakeholders and institutions throughout Wake County. We have rolled genuinely all that feedback into our plan. We now have a plan that quadruples bus service and provides a backbone commuter rail line that would run all across Wake County and connect with our sister counties in the Triangle. So we've got a great plan put together. And now our task is to inform constituents about all the benefits of transit and why it could really be a revolutionary thing for our county.
We're very excited about this. I mean, we all know as citizens of Wake County, traffic is getting worse. Congestion is continuing to increase. And the only way we're going to get on top of this is to provide more transportation options. So that's why this is so important in the fall to be able to support this transit referendum, to provide more transportation options and begin to deal with this congestion.
And finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the one thing that seems to be dominating the news in the last few weeks, and that is House Bill 2. Some people have called it the bathroom bill. A lot of people have said it's discriminatory. Talk a little bit about what you have heard from your constituents. I know, Sig, you've traveled to other parts of the country and heard some feedback as well. What are your thoughts about how it was pushed through and where we are now?
Well, it's a real problem. You know, we in Wake County, we passed a non-discrimination ordinance for Wake County employees. We believe in diversity. We believe inclusiveness. We are a friendly, open state. As I mentioned, when we just got back from a Greater Raleigh Chamber of Commerce trip to San Diego, and three of our members, when they were talking to other people from California about where they were from, they said, oh, y'all are the folks who don't like gay people. And it's just like, I mean, that just really hurts us. Because it's just not who we are. You know, we are very inclusive. And so when this kind of language and narrative gets out that can impact our brand, it's not good on so many levels.
And, you know, I think there are at least two big lessons here. The first is we've learned from history, when you enshrine in the law discrimination, it always ends up badly. And it ends up badly for everyone involved. The second is, if you're trying to be a place that competes globally, it's very difficult to do that when no one outside of North Carolina wants anything to do with you. And so for the good of the economy and just doing right by our citizens and not putting discrimination into the law, I think we need a pretty big change and quick.
If the law is not repealed this session, how much financial damage do you think this will do to the county and the state? I know we've heard of some summer concerts that have been canceled. There have been businesses or conventions that have decided we're going to go somewhere else. A few weeks ago, we had Representative Darren Jackson on the program, and he was saying, you may never know because businesses that may have been considering North Carolina may just quietly cross us off the list. Is there any way of calculating how much damage is done if there is not a repeal?
Well, actually, there is. The Greater Raleigh Convention Visitors Bureau gives us a report every week. You know, last week they mentioned that 16 conventions have backed away, representing 35,000 room nights. 73,000 people are not going to be coming to Wake County, which could have a potential economic impact of $24 million, which, if this continues, could possibly manifest itself in a tax increase for the citizens of Wake County.
And finally, I think some of the state lawmakers in the Senate are just beginning to think about putting this to a referendum of the people, maybe a constitutional amendment. What are your thoughts on that idea?
Well, as a general proposition, I always think it's good for citizens to be able to weigh in. But I suspect that in this case, it's really a political move. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to offload responsibility for a very, very bad law. I don't think that waiting until the fall and allowing the damage to roll in is a good idea for our state in the near term or in the long term. But really, I just think this is a political move to try to save face, but keep the law on the books in the near term.
And Sig, I'll give you the final word.
Well, a bad idea followed by another bad idea doesn't tend to work out too well.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, and we look forward to having you both on the program. We've been delighted this morning to have with us Wake County Commissioners Sig Hutchinson and Matt Calabria. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.